This is the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. I'm Rob Schaefer, joined today by Darnell Mayberry of The Athletic and Tony Gill of NBC Sports Chicago. Coming up on the show, Darnell, Tony, and I recount the small joys that have made watching Bulls basketball so fun this season, from the nightly playoff atmosphere at the United Center to the Bulls' spectacular play in transition to even their uniforms. We hit on a lot and try to break down and reflect on what has made the Bulls such a fun watch and an improved team this year.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
All right, welcome into the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Lights. I am Rob Schaefer. Tony Gill is here with me today. I guess we'd call it a guest spot, Tony, for you, popping in. And additionally, we are thrilled, absolutely thrilled, to welcome in our good friend Darnell Mayberry from over at The Athletic. Darnell, it's great to chop it up with you in this format. Obviously, you're one of my favorite people to talk to around the media workroom, the UC, the Advocate. But, you know, it's fun to take some of those conversations, not all those conversations, but some of those conversations to a public forum. How you doing?
I'm good, gentlemen. I hope you both had a good Christmas and you and your families are doing well. But you're only thrilled because you're trying to get these hot takes that I'll be spitting in the press room. I know your game, Rob. You're just trying to get these hot takes from me today.
Well, we probably should have listened to your hot takes on Javonte Green at the end of last season. You're about the only person in Chicago, I think, that can say that you saw the Javonte Green emergence coming. So congrats on that.
I didn't see him starting at power forward and being just as effective, you know, on a team 12 games over 500 as he was on a team 13 games under 500. That to me is the shocking part. I mean, he's playing more minutes. Rob, I think you pointed this out at the in the post game press conference the other night after that second Hawks game to him, that this is the biggest role that he's ever had, and you know he's just embraced it and in a lot of ways excelled at it. So I'm happy to see that, you know, as the guy who was the driver of that bus, you know, finally Javonte Green is getting some love.
Yeah, I don't even know.
I got killed when I wrote that article in May. People were like, why does Javonte Green need an entire article on The Athletic? Because there ain't no one else to write about. That's why.
Well, then good on you for putting it back out today, because you were right to a degree. I mean, I don't even think Javonte Green saw the Javonte Green emergence coming to this degree. I don't know that the Bulls did when they signed him to that minimum deal, but – you know, obviously credit to the coaching staff for thinking, you know, this guy's a four in the league. He hasn't really been tried there. He played there in college, obviously, but at 6'4", he has the athleticism. He's got the juice to do it. He stepped in admirably for Patrick Williams. And we're a little off topic now, but I loved what Chris Fleming said about him last night, where just from a disposition perspective, you have DeMar, you got Zach, you've got Lonzo, you've got Vucevic in the starting lineup. They all have kind of a smooth, I don't want to say laid back or relaxed, but just like an even keeled demeanor a little bit, just in a basketball sense. And then Javonte is like a ball of chaotic energy flying all over the place, trying to dunk on everybody, blocking shots, going for steals and stuff. So it's a fun little dynamic. It's another example of just, you know, how well built this Bulls team has proven to be to this point. All right, let's get a little bit into the impetus for the episode today. We're going to go through and we loop Tony in for this, because I know Tony will have some good perspective on this too, but just zooming out a little bit, getting out from the day-to-day of COVID protocols and injury reports and game analysis and stuff that you get caught in the weeds on, and zoom out, look at the big picture of this Bulls season, which has them 22-10, 32 games in. We're coming up on the halfway point. I believe they're still top 10 in offense and defense, and even two games against the Skeleton Crew Hawks has pushed them, I think, into the top five in offense. It's been two pretty high-octane performances the last two games. And I just want to get, you know, Darnell's perspective, my perspective as people, you know, reportery types that are there every day. And Tony, your perspective as a fan watching this team on just what the little joys have been throughout this season, like maybe stuff that, you know, hasn't been worth a full article or a full podcast segment. You're not getting asked about it on the radio. You're not talking about it publicly very often, but just the little things from a night to night basis that make up the big picture of how transformed this team is. Certainly from last season, certainly from when I first got on the beat. And Darnell and Tony, you guys know the depths of this rebuild a little bit better than I do. I got here 19-20, just enough to say that I was in it for a little bit, and then I get to, you know, be at the fun part of it too. So Darnell, let's start with you, because I know you had some fun putting this stuff together. We haven't compared notes or anything like that, and I'm light on notes compared to a usual show, because this is a vibes based conversation. But what's one small Bulls thing that's brought you joy this season that maybe wasn't present in years past?
You know what? It's the, before I even walk into the arena, I see it. And it's the fans who are lined up getting into the building. I did a story, I think it was last season or maybe the season before last, on a random Wednesday night against Minnesota. And I sat there and I did a video, I tweeted it out, of the doors opening at 5:30. And the ushers all just standing there because no one was coming in. Now it's the complete opposite. And just, you guys know where we park. I don't know, maybe Rob, you could probably detail this a little bit better for your listeners, but we park two lots across from the United Center. And as we're walking in, you got the view of the United Center in front of you, the players on the little digital billboard screens facing on the front of the arena. And then underneath that, all of these fans, just this swarm of fans just lining up to get into the doors right at opening. And when you get in there, the place being packed, to me, that, like, I haven't experienced that, and this is my fifth season covering the Bulls. So just seeing that electric energy and that atmosphere, really, I mean, I used to see it coming as a visiting writer, and it made Chicago one of my top five arenas in the league, top three now. But it was missing. It was missing for so many years, and now it's back, and it's back every night. And so that's been one of the little joys that I've had this season.
That was on my list too, especially, I think, and I know it's a cliche that gets tossed around in like sports media stuff, but that playoff atmosphere, like, you see why the United Center and Chicago is regarded as, you know, a top tier atmosphere in the NBA when the Bulls are at their height. I certainly haven't seen anything like this season before from that perspective, having only been around three seasons, but even five, like, you go that far back, it's been really since the Rose era. The first Knicks game, Joakim Noah night, and that Lakers game, Tony, that you were at, were just electric atmospheres. And obviously, you know, on a nightly basis, it's an engaged crowd, but it really, you know, makes you start to think down the road a little bit, like, man, when, you know, we start playing some consequential games late in the season, even in the postseason, it could really, really, you know, become akin to what it was in the past again.
I think mine, and I think I probably mentioned it in podcasts this season before, where we just kind of took a step back and looked at what was going on, is the Bulls aren't pushovers anymore, right? Like, knowing that a team, and for Bulls fans, knowing that, like, you know, the Lakers or these upper echelon, I'm doing that in air quotes because the Lakers aren't really upper echelon, but you know, these high, you know, maintenance teams, high payroll teams, right? They come in Chicago, and it used to be an easy win, or we can turn it on whenever. I remember specifically the Lakers game where Anthony Davis was playing horribly. The Bulls looked like they were going to get one out. I think this was under Jim Boylan, actually.
It was beginning of the 2019-20 season. I remember this game vividly.
And, like, the second half, it's like they just stopped playing basketball and started, like, discussing, like, what they were going to do for dinner, and the Lakers just came back and, like, ran them. And teams can't do that anymore. You're not just going to come into the United Center and think it's going to be an easy win for you. Like, that's dead. And having that respect now around the league, right, where national people, where Tim Hardaway Jr. saying the Bulls are back, like, it's not just an easy win for you, you know, when they go into your arena, and especially when you come into Chicago, that you need to be prepared to play, because it's not going to be an easy win, and they're probably going to dub you if you play around with them too much. So that for me has been the biggest, like, little joy for this season for me, and as a fan. And I'm pretty sure a bunch of fans you know, having pride about their team on social media, that like these other teams, these other fan bases, when you come to Chicago, you're just not going to, it's not an easy, it's not a get right game for you going into Milwaukee or going to play like Brooklyn or something. Like, no, you're going to have to play too when you come to Chicago.
Yeah, I don't have all the numbers in front of me, but Bulls 12-4 at home this season. If you go back to 2018-19, they were 9-32 at home. Looks like tied for the worst record in the East, 14-20 last season, or sorry, in 2019-20. Yeah, 12-4 this season. That home court advantage appears to be back a little bit. Let me grab one here. I'll submit another one in terms of little joys.
Hold up, Rob, before you go to your second one, let me ask you a question. You both a question about the fans and the atmosphere. Have either one of you ever covered a playoff game live?
No.
No.
Oh, my goodness. So I haven't either in Chicago. Obviously, I did a lot before coming to Chicago, but I'm curious to see, like, we've seen it ratchet up here this season, but I'm curious to see what it's going to be like in the playoffs in Chicago, knowing that this Bulls team is dangerous. You know, it's not just like a fluke thing. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that this team's for real. So I'm ready to see what it's like and how intense it gets in the postseason.
First time here
in Chicago.
Especially if it's like a highly contentious matchup. I mean, I know people at the beginning of the season were dreaming of that, of like a Knicks first round series. It looks like the Knicks are not in the same tier. Although maybe if it's like a 2-7.
2-7, baby. 2-7.
Yeah. Like the East is so deep in quality this year, and the Bulls are the cream of the crop quality wise, or have been so far. But yeah, man, it is going to be something else, especially if they have home court in a first round series or potentially a second round series. Mm-hmm. I am really, really, really looking forward to it. Because I've been to playoff games as a fan, but I've never covered one. And I've been to one playoff game in Chicago, but they didn't win. It was kind of like a mundane first round game. And there was nothing, no insane anecdotes to tell from that night. So hopefully, or I guess we'll just see if that, how that develops this season. All right, let me throw my second one. And it has to do a little bit with the crowd atmosphere, because it's just a factor in how entertaining and fun this team has been this season. And it's something I was thinking about watching Tyler Cook throw down like one-handed left-hand tomahawks, and Zach LaVine throws down a 360 towards the end of the game against Atlanta. Javonte Green has this reverse, like, that he floated through the air, like, from, you know, seemingly, you know, halfway to the three-point line on the right wing in transition. Like, the athleticism on this team and the flair for making these highlight plays, like, it really does seem like they feed off of crowd energy. They enjoy, obviously, getting up and down the floor. They're a team that talks all the time about needing to get out and transition to juice their offense. So that, when you have guys, and I tweeted this, and it was an incomplete tweet. I had to add names even after putting it out. But when you look at just the, like, dunking talent on this team, Zach LaVine, Derek Jones Jr., Javonte Green, I think was underrated coming to the season. People are starting to see what he can do from a dunking perspective. Alex Caruso, DeMar DeRozan, I believe, has been in dunk contests before. Even Patrick Williams, when he's healthy, is like a toolsy guy that is certainly brings a lot more athleticism than this team had during the rebuilding years. That level, I mean, I think they're the most efficient transition team in the NBA, if not pretty close. That combined with the level of IQ with guys like Lonzo Ball, with DeMar, Zach obviously evolving, like, the athleticism and the IQ combination has just produced, to me, some really aesthetically pleasing basketball, some really fun, you know, fast break transition games that have been a lot of fun. Just the highlights. I mean, it sounds simple to say, we could, you know, count them all down, but that's been a big thing for me. It's not just that this team is playing well, and it was said at the beginning of the season, right? Even if the Bulls are a 500 team or whatever you predict them to be, they're going to be fun. And they've been everything you've wanted from a fun perspective and more, and they've also been good on top of that. So that's been, especially in person, especially getting to sit right down on the floor and watch stuff, you get a really unique perspective on watching stuff unfold in the fast break. That's been really a ton of fun and a big departure from the past few seasons, athleticism-wise.
Yeah, I'll piggyback on that and go with the alley-oops, man. Lobs, and more lobs. Like, you got Alex Caruso throwing them to LaVine and DeRozan. You got Kobe White. You've got Lonzo Ball connecting with guys. So the fact that these guys are turning defense into offense, doing it in a highlight fashion, Rob, as you pointed out, and then also just that specific play, full court, outlet passes and those half-court lob passes. I mean, nothing to me seems like it gets the United Center more excited than when there's a lob alley-oop dunk, probably from Lonzo Ball, or you saw Ayo Dosunmu try to throw one with DeRozan the other night that got knocked up. But, yeah, I mean, I just love those lob plays.
Lonzo hit aheads and one-handed like full-court passes are further down. That's kind of just like the one bullet point. You know, those you get like one or two of those plays a game, and it's just amazing. It's just an audacious team. Like Javonte Green has firmly seized the Lauri Markkanen, you know, thunderous miss dunk mantle. Like Lonzo's trying passes from anywhere on the court. Like there are just so many. Like even Zach, like that 360 in a blowout. Like this team just has such a. Like I said, audaciousness, I think is the word I would use to them. Like they, you know, it's just fun. They clearly are very confident and play like it. So,
yeah. You know, just to continue that for a little bit before I go to mine is, like Rob, you mentioned, like we've come a long way from fans cheering and you know, and yelling out over the Lauri Markkanen and missed dunk to now 360s, you know, in the middle of the game and actually putting on a show, not just winning, but putting on a show, right? I mean, in those 90s, you know, Jordan teams, like they will dominate you, but they were also there to put on a show. This is entertainment. Like we want them to win games, but also be fun to watch. And I think now, like across the league, if you're a basketball fan, you know, everybody has like their league pass team, right? If you're not in the market or one of those teams that you sneaky watch sometimes, like everybody across the league, I think say, hey, the Bulls are playing. Let's see what they're about. Like,
they've like got to be one of the more popular league passes.
Right. They have to. I wish there was like some metrics that we can check that out, because I think they are that entertaining where people that, you know, in other markets, Rob, but like Boston or, you know, other, you know, markets with, you know, teams that aren't doing so well, Orlando, shout out to Jersey guy, that are tuning in to the Bulls because they are that athletic and entertaining.
I think people are tuning in for the Franz Wagner Rookie of the Year push, but, you know, okay, we can shade Orlando and the Wendell Carter Jr. Third season jump. But all right, Tony, give us one off your list.
So another one is jerseys, man. Like, I love the jersey. I love the way different ways that Nike is doing the jerseys this year. Some of them are massively ugly. Like, I don't know what the Orlando orange scheme is going. I don't understand it. Like, it's weird to me. But over like the Bulls jersey specifically, all of them just mwah. I'm not a fan of the white home. I like the red at home.
Well, that's a hot take.
It is a really hot take. But wow. But I will die on that hill. Home is for colors. Shout out to the colors. You know. but I'm a fan of the colored jerseys. But all their jerseys have been excellent. The new city editions, like, I am a fan of a nice clean jersey and the Bulls. They always hit, but especially when they're winning and, you know, it's a meaningful team. Like, it seems like those jerseys hit even harder.
Yeah, that's a good one, Tony. That one jersey though looks like I can't keep up with the names of these jerseys, but the one, the black one with the red and gold little imprint, it's letters.
Statement edition.
Statement. Yeah. It looks like a pizza box to me. do y'all like that jersey?
I'm always a fan of black. Like if you can get black in a main scheme, I'm always here for it. So I like them.
They're okay.
I don't hate it. I just don't love it. I think it looks good, but I don't love it. It just does look like something that comes on a deep dish pizza box or something. I don't understand how it was inspired. I guess that's my main.
Well, I think they used to wear them back in the. I mean, obviously, I'm the wrong person to ask about this. I think they used to wear them back in the '90s, or at least a variation of that, like black with the red pinstripe.
Yeah.
I love the new city editions this year. You can't go wrong with the cursive script. I also like, and go to the Bulls website and check this out. They have like a write up of what all the different inspirations on the shorts and the old logo format from back when the franchise was first started. I like a uniform set that is stylish and like crisp looking, which I think the city ones are. And it also nods a couple times to the Bulls history. I think that's cool too. Good one, Tom. What do you think, Darnell? You got another one?
Yeah, I'll go DeMar DeRozan in the mid-range.
That's also on my list. We got season lists. That's
right. Yeah, it's funny. We didn't even compare notes. Rob wasn't lying. We have not compared notes. But yeah, DeMar DeRozan. Sorry to steal your thunder, Rob. I'll just keep it brief and let you get into it. I know you probably got some statistics that you throw at us. To me, I just use the eye test, and I remember in the preseason, I think he went like 11 of 26 or something like that in one of those games, and I just thought, man, he's working really, really hard to get off a tough shot that's only worth 2 points. But he's been great at it, so I give him a ton of credit for being on fire in the first 32 games of the season and delivering in a way that a lot of observers said that is outdated, antiquated, and just would no longer work in today's NBA. He's proving them wrong, and he's doing it in a way that has made the Bulls incredibly successful at the start of this season. So I enjoy seeing that.
Yeah, I won't add any statistics because my enjoyment of the DeMar DeRozan mid-range experience is just fully based on, like, I just have never seen more clearly why it is called by players and ex-players the art of the mid-range more than when you watch him operate. Just like the pace that he operates at, the footwork, it almost looks like he's dancing at times. The suddenness of when he's able to pull up, like he really is a threat from any inch of court inside the three-point arc. He's obviously shooting a great percentage on those looks. It even goes up in fourth quarters where he's been amazing with his shot making. But yeah, it's just been an experience of watching someone who has mastered a very specific skill set, a very specific craft. And that's just been enormously, enormously fun, especially because you can combine it with every time you ask DeMar DeRozan about it, you can sense the little chip on his shoulder with some of the stuff that you just mentioned, Darnell, with people, maybe downplaying the, efficiency or the effectiveness of the mid-range in today's game, or downplaying his own game because of how much he leans on it. Like, you can just sense his the chip on his shoulder that he has related to that type of stuff every time you ask him about it and every time he talks about his game. That was obviously super palpable in the offseason and has maybe faded a little bit as the team has been great. But, his proficiency, his mastery there has just been awesome. And it's been, directly correlated to the Bulls' success. Like, him closing out games, he really, really leans on his shot-making from that area, and it hasn't failed the Bulls yet. So that's been fun.
Rob, you got more? I got two more.
Okay, I got one. I'll put it in quickly. This one's a little off the beaten path. It's not necessarily directly on court related, but you hear guys around this team talk a lot about how this is a team where the chemistry is just really, really on point on and off the court. Obviously, the pieces on the court have meshed very well at a very rapid rate here for the team to be playing as well as they are. Off the court, it strikes me as a very, very high chemistry group. And maybe, Darnell, I kind of be curious your thoughts on that, because you've been around the league longer than I have, and I don't know, how common it is to see a group that kind of seems to gel the way that these guys do just interpersonally. But you hear guys talk about how one thing that is uncommon about this group is that they all celebrate each other's successes. And we probably can't see the full breadth of that because we're not in the locker rooms necessarily anymore, not around, not as deeply embedded with the teams as we, maybe, or just reporters in general used to be. But I just feel like you could see it even in a lot of guys' on-court demeanor. Like, I was thinking there was one thing I had in my notes from, I think it was the Hornets game a couple weeks ago, where Vooch really broke out for one of the first times from his kind of early season shooting slump. He hit a halftime buzzer beater. And you could see Zach LaVine, like, very, very, in a very pronounced fashion, like, pump his fist. Guys came over to high-five Vooch. Kobe, when he hit those couple threes in the second Knicks game at the UC that kind of swung that game, guys realizing like how big that was for Kobe, given his struggles to start the season. I think he got the water shower on TV after that, et cetera, et cetera. So I think just the bench reactions to dunks and things like that. We talk about the fast break highlights that this team has produced. I think that's been a pretty cool part of the season to see not only how the on-court chemistry has taken off faster than a lot of people expected, but also off the court. It's just a group that appears to have fun playing basketball and appears to really, all enjoy each other's company. That's just, as a reporter, I'm not a fan necessarily, but I imagine as a fan, it makes the team exponentially more fun to root for, or easier to root for. So that's been something that I've noticed with this group that has been kind of cool to see. Not commenting on, exactly what things were like here in past years, but this year that's really stood out to me more so.
Hell, they were cheering Mac McClung's first bucket like crazy against the Hawks the other night.
There you go. There you go. I mean, Alphonso McKinney talked about it. Yeah. Oh, no, go, Darnell. Go.
No, they seem to really enjoy each other. The one caveat that I would throw out is that they're winning. And everything is better when you're winning, as we know. So there isn't a lot that, even if people do have beefs and frustrations, like, you don't have a leg to stand on right now because you're 22-10 and you're second in the Eastern Conference, and you look like you can be something special this season that not a lot of people saw coming. So anyone who is kind of not in the rowing in the same direction, they're going to stand out for all the wrong reasons. And so as long as they're winning, I think we're going to continue to see that chemistry and camaraderie. But yeah, it is noticeable on the court, Rob. But another one that you bring up is that, you know, we haven't been in the locker rooms, and that's, you can always tell in post-game interviews, like, what's what and who's who by the way people interact and respond to certain questions and just body language and interactions, things like that. So not being in the locker room this season has been huge for not being able to discern some of those things. But on the court, which is where it really, really matters, everything has looked great. So I give those guys a lot of credit for having, 10 new players come in at the start of this season. That's been a ton of turnover, and they've done a great job, an incredible job of putting together this thing in short order and getting some success really fast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
100%. Tony, you want to spew out one of your two more?
Yeah, so I think one is an offshoot of what you just talked about, is Zach smiling on camera now. Like, that started to become a thing where you would just pan over throughout the games to Zach LaVine sitting on the bench, or Zach LaVine's facial expressions, and it would just be in utter disgust. It would happen at least like once a game. Like, you knew, shout out to, you know, our camera staff and our people knowing like where the angles were, because they would catch him every time. And now when they pan over to Zach LaVine, he's enjoying himself. He's smiling. He's getting into the game. He's rooting for his teammates. Not saying he was a bad teammate before, but like, it's tough to smile through those, like getting blown out by 30 or losing another fourth quarter lead to lose by 15. Like, there's nothing to smile about in those spaces. And to Darnell's point, like, they're winning now, so it's a lot easier to smile through, you know, through all the stuff that happens this season, COVID or whatever. But it's just nice to have like one of your better players seems like he enjoys being a Chicago Bull, because at certain points I was like, yeah, he's out of here. At certain points through his tenure here as a Chicago Bull, I would think like, yeah, I think he may be too far gone, he may be too damaged at this point, he probably wants out. But now to see him engaged physically, emotionally, facially, like, it's been great to see that on TV.
Yeah, the happiness is definitely one aspect of it. I also just think there's a different air around Zach this year. Maybe it's the Olympics effect. Maybe it's the, you know, part of it is maybe the DeMar DeRozan effect, everything that he's learned from him. But
get engaged.
That maybe, I don't know. But the just the defensive engagement level on a nightly basis, like, mm-hmm. he's just so locked in on the little things on that end. You could see the calm and the poise that he's talked about picking up a little bit from DeMar. There are less, obviously, he's at his lowest turnover total since, you know, coming to Chicago. The late game kind of head scratching decisions are not there. The Bulls are obviously winning more. And he, you know, he's just operating, and Darnell, actually, I might kick this to you and see if you agree that he just seems to be operating with a different level of confidence and just a different, it's just a different feel around Zach than it was in years past. And it, some of that feels obvious again, because of the team-wide results. But just with everything he's kind of accomplished with the All-Star team, the Olympics of the past season, combine that with the team being completely re-energized. And it feels to me like we're getting a different Zach LaVine this season. What do you think, Darnell, based on just what you saw of him before this year compared to this year?
Yeah, Rob, you bring up an interesting point. And I don't know how to put my finger on it, because he's always been extremely confident.
Yep.
Unflappable confidence he has. And so that's not it. He's always been an incredibly difficult shot maker. So that's nothing new. And he's built consistency year by year. So we've seen. So I can't really put my finger on how to describe the look in Zach LaVine this year compared to years past, but you're right. There is a difference that I don't know if it was the All-Star appearance that he obviously had put out there that he craved. The Olympic experience, being around those superstars, but maybe he just carries himself differently. Maybe that's it. But Tony, have you seen it? Can you put your finger on it?
Other than him smiling more on TV when the camera pans home,
he's winning, man. The man is happy. That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah, I think, man, like the winning, I think, is probably the number one overall reason. You know, now something that he's never really done on the NBA level. But also, I think he's looking a little bit, you know, peeking to that offseason. Like, hey, I'm heading to another All-Star year, potentially, you know, an All-NBA player. Like, I'm about to get paid after this year, you know. And this team and Arturis and Mark seemingly investing in him in terms of getting the pieces necessary around him so he can start the winning. Feeling like the organization, the coaching, everybody has your back. I think maybe that has something to do with it in terms of that confidence and how he's carrying himself, knowing his space in the grand scheme of the NBA, right? Where knowing that he's confident enough now, like, I'm one of the top players, top 15 players in the NBA. He probably always had that confidence that he was, but now with the winning, it seems like it's being validated. Not just to him, but to everybody around the league, to his team, to the organization, that maybe that has a little bit to do with it as well.
Maybe that's a good point, Tony, because, like, even things that we don't talk about in a basketball sense, like, he's getting commercials now.
Yeah.
Like, there's maybe – I don't – and you do – I'm glad that you delineated that, Darnell, in terms of the on-court production, because not much of that has changed. The numbers are – and I even checked this morning. They're pretty similar to last season's when he had, you know, a near historically efficient season scoring-wise. But just stature-wise, maybe that's part of it. And like you said, Tony, just security in the sense that, like, Zach LaVine, I know DeMar DeRozan has been maybe the Bulls' best player this season and has been getting the MVP buzz, but Zach is the protagonist of this team, just in the sense that none of this happens without him. Like, this, if he had didn't show enough to make the front office willing to invest in building around him and doing it quickly and realizing the urgency with which they needed to do it, you know, this thing might get ripped down. We might be in another rebuild right now, but him ascending to that level, even, and I think that's probably where a lot of the, you know, frustration and the low moments came from, was that really for the last two seasons, at least, of the Bulls rebuild, he was on just a different level of how everybody in the organization was operating, like roster, coaching, front office. Like, he was, we said it, you know, a million times, that he was just too good for the situation that he was in. Winning, that stature being cemented. I mean, he's probably on track to start the All-Star game this season. Like, think about how big of an accomplishment it was for him to even make the game last year. To make that step up is big, and it says a lot. Like you said, Tony, about his standing around the league. It's cemented at this point, and the money is soon going to follow it, which obviously has to factor into.
Yeah, I think my last one is, again, you guys are kind of hitting the nail on the head. Is the Bulls are going to have multiple All-Stars, so the first time in, like, what, 10 years,
Oh, I haven't looked this up yet. Darnell, have you looked this up recently? When the last time they had multiple All-Stars was?
No, I haven't had a reason.
But I mean, knowing that DeMar and Zach, almost called him Lonzo, Zach are definitely in, and then maybe they get a third. Maybe, I don't know. Like, depending on where they finish, like, it's not unheard of for the second team in the East, right, to have like more than two. I'm reaching, you know, for a third, but hey, I know, man, it's sure.
Vooch is looking up. Vooch is looking up, huh?
Like, no. For sure, I know Zach and DeMar are going to be there. And that's cool. That's dope. That's dope that the Bulls finally have two All-Stars. I think what, since did Derek make All-Star team with Powell?
I don't know.
Butler,
I
think he's... Luol Deng. Yeah, I mean, you had some years where the Bulls had two, right? Joakim Noah and Derrick Rose made it 1 year. Was that 2013?
Oh, wow. Something like guys, that. Basketball Reference makes this pretty easy for us. 2015-16, Jimmy and Powell both made it.
Okay.
There you go.
So it's been a little while, you know, since the Bulls had, you know, two All-Stars, and knowing that they're going to be two and one possible starter, maybe two starters, right? DeMar's the MVP candidate. He's got more of the MVP consideration than Zach.
They're doing DeMar a little dirty with the positional thing. I think I saw in the voting he's listed as a guard only really he's been playing the 3 and 4 for them. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, it would be tough for them to sneak too, because you've got, even in the front court, you got Giannis and KD. Mm-hmm. You've got Embiid, who's on a tear. Trae Young, who we just saw. That team is obviously depleted, but he's playing, you know, at an all-star starter quality level. So we'll see. And there's still a long way till voting closes, but you're definitely right about that, Tony, that we're on pace for that. Darnell, you got another one? We could each do last one.
I got one last one for you guys. Yeah, I got one last one for you. And that's Bulls memes. Bulls, like, you guys, and you guys are on social media way more than me. So you're probably familiar with who's doing all of these. I know Stacey King does a lot of them that I enjoy, where the Bulls players, you know, they got those faces on and they're just dancing. You know, it's like, I love those things. And that's just kind of all encompassing, telling you how much this team is having fun, how much the fans are having fun, and how much winning has just made everyone feel better. Those memes kind of embody it all, and I just love watching them. Anytime I see them, I stop what I'm doing and I check them out.
That's a great answer, man. I can't remember who posted this. I should look this up, but I can't remember. But I saw a picture of Ayo Dosunmu as a dad, photoshopped onto a dad's body, and then Trae Young's face photoshopped onto like the dad's son. And I saw that floating around last night, given the Ayo Trae dynamic over the last.
That's a multi-layered joke, because Trae has been like known as like looked like a grown baby, you know, with the nice soft baby hairs. So that's a layer. That's
get
a layer.
Get off man's baby hair, Trae. Get off of Trae's baby hair, Tony.
All right, that's a great answer, and it's true. Bulls Twitter, and that's the other thing, man. Bulls fan base, they're reminding you what it's like when they pack the United Center. Bulls Twitter is reminding you what it's like when the team is good. It's a different vibe. It's a different vibe when the memes are positive and it's not campaign in an army tank. You know what I mean? rolling down the street. All right, I'm gonna cheat for my last one. I'm just gonna do a couple bullet points. I mentioned the Lonzo Ball hit aheads. Alex Caruso, well, just generally Alex Caruso, but specifically the way he draws offensive fouls when, you know, he's trying to fight over screens. I mean, that really just says a lot about his skill set. I think that's a pretty fun thing of his game. This is something Zach Lowe has been on for years, but, you know, now we're seeing it for the first time just up close every night. DeMar, whenever he shoots technical free throws, when he does the fake handshake with the invisible people up at the up at the free throw line, that's kind of a fun thing. Yeah, we mentioned the audacity, and then Ayo. Oh, that, you know, and just Ayo's development since summer league has been really, really fun to watch. Defensively, he was pretty phenomenal on Trae for these last two games, or about as good as you can be. Because that's a guy you're not gonna stop. You just hope to slow him down, even with the Hawks as shorthanded as they were. But between that and even like these little touch floaters that Ayo seems to have in his bag now that weren't there, or at least didn't look like they were there at the start of the season, his transition scoring, like he's been obviously with the Chicago angle, and also just the Bulls seeming to have hit on a second round pick this quickly after he was drafted. That's been one of the better stories of the Bulls season. So that's all I got. Either you guys have a closing thought, Tony? Looks like you got something.
Yeah, just one kind of wet blanket type thing. You know, I who am I then, other than a hurt Bulls fan that brings up hurt at any point during a great thing, right?
Tony, they're 22-10, man. What are you about to say?
So I was thinking about this, and you know, COVID has ravaged the league on top of regular normal injuries that an NBA season can bring. Do you guys think that the Bulls has taken advantage of kind of like the situation where it seems like COVID has really evened out the playing field, where it's like you have the betting favorites, obviously, to win a championship, but I don't 100% believe, that any one team is definitely going to win a championship this year, creating openings for kind of the Bulls to kind of sneak in and be like, hey, what's up? We in here, and don't none of y'all really want it. So I'll politely take this seat as well. So what do you guys think about from that aspect of the competition? Seemingly COVID has kind of evened out the playing field, at least during the regular season, and the Bulls are kind of outperforming what their projections might have been if this was like a normal season.
Well, I don't think a normal season exists in the NBA. And I think that's what the Bulls were gambling on a little bit. There's always going to be, whether it be COVID or a superstar player becoming disgruntled or whatever, there's always flux. But you're right, this season does feel like there's more parity than a regular season. So certainly that benefits the Bulls, because they're trying to disrupt their traditional hierarchy right now. They're trying to be that team that breaks through. On a granular sense, they've definitely gotten, I don't want to say lucky, but they have benefited a little bit from this COVID stuff recently, because they were one of the first teams to get hit by it. They got those two games postponed earlier this month. Now they're on a string of, you know, obviously that Atlanta team is just completely different than what the Hawks look like at full strength. Mm-hmm. Indiana tomorrow, they just had Brogdon and I can't remember who else, but they're going to be shorthanded with COVID stuff tomorrow. It looks like the Bulls, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie, they play the Wizards later this week, entered today with Bradley Beal already in. So in a granular sense, I think they're getting a little bit lucky with that just in this little stretch right here. That'll even out at some point, though. And they had quality wins before the COVID surge really, really started in the NBA, beating the Nets twice. And obviously the West Coast trip that they went on was pretty impressive, minus the Warriors loss without Vucevic. So I'm not sitting 22-10. If I'm a Bulls fan, I'm not too existentially concerned by that. I'm just kind of along for the ride.
I agree with what you're saying, Tony, to a degree. And I'll disagree with you a little bit, Rob, in the sense that they did have breaks, non-COVID-19 related breaks, from the start, playing the Pistons without Cade Cunningham, playing the Raptors without who they played, the Pelicans in the second game without Zion. I think a couple
of every NBA they team played the Pelicans without Zion, but yeah,
they played the Raptors without Pascal Siakam and the Jazz without Mike Conley. They got Denver in Denver without Jokic. So you know, they've had some breaks all throughout the season, but that's as far as I'll go is acknowledging them. You can only play who's on your schedule. It's a cliche, but it's true. And you've got to give the Bulls credit for being able to take advantage of what they've been presented. So I don't look at it as a bad thing. I look at it as they've taken care of business, and you got to give them credit for doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I generally agree with that. Yeah, injury breaks happen. I think they got the Nets without Joe Harris one of those games. So, yeah, I'm sure you could do that for every team to a degree. But come on, Tony, I said – no COVID talk, no injury talk, no negativity. This is the Joy podcast. We brought Darnell on because Darnell is the ray of sunshine on the beat, and we needed some positivity on these airwaves.
I just had to throw it out there. Just had to throw it out there to something in my mind. I was like, if this was a normal NBA season, would they be second in the East? But, you know, hey, I'm glad
but Rob is right. There is no normal NBA season anymore.
Yeah.
This is the third straight season we're dealing with this. This is the new norm.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that, you know, not only do you have to account for, you know, injuries, now you got to account for, you know, how long is this guy going to be out strategizing? Like, oh man, we're headed to a playoff run, like for seeding. Like now we're out, you know, 6 days without our main, like adding to that aspect, like teams may be getting more tightly closer, like as the playoffs, you know, start to begin. Like, hey, you're not going out tonight. I don't care what's going on. Like that aspect, right, of everybody having to have a almost a bubble mentality out in the real world as the playoffs start, that's going to be really, really interesting. And it's going to be devastating for teams, right, when they are testing and find out their best player or second best player or their best three-point shooter is out for COVID, and it'll change the dynamic of a playoff series.
Yeah. I mean, you had that a little bit last season, but you also saw teams, like you said, Tony, like batten down the hatches a little bit at the highest leverage points of the season. And I think, you know, other than Chris Paul going out for as long as he went out, I don't think COVID necessarily drastically impacted the arc of the playoffs last year. Injuries did, as they do every year. But yeah, new normal, and we'll see how that develops. Darnell, before we get out of here, please, if you have anything to plug, and by the way, anybody listening to the show obviously knows who Darnell Mayberry is, but if you're not subscribed to The Athletic, your head's not screwed on right. So Darnell, anything to plug, I'm clearing the runway for you.
Yeah, no, thanks guys, I appreciate you having me. This has been fun. Just theathletic.com, it's a great product, and you can follow me on Twitter at Darnell Mayberry.
Alrighty. Well, we hope you enjoyed the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. Find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Subscribe if you like the show. Feel free to rate and review us. New episodes are ready every Tuesday and Friday morning. Thanks to Tony and Darnell for joining me today, and we will see you guys next week.